141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. SFA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell says Steve Clarke's future will be discussed after sealing a World Cup spot. Could Harvey Barnes be part of the squad that travels to North America next summer? And Celtic head into tomorrow's AGM without any update on a permanent manager. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are David Friel and Gordon DL.
Yeah, I think everybody, the nation, will still be in a high from Tuesday night, Andrew. I know that we're looking forward to domestic football, but I think the talking points tonight will be about Scotland. Harvey Barnes is getting mentioned. Wonder what the Scotland fans think about that. I know my opinion about it. Steve Clarke, new contract, greatest ever Scottish manager. Everything to talk about tonight.
Yeah, 48 hours on, Andrew, and I still can't believe what we witnessed at Hampden, the greatest game I've certainly ever been to. I think the greatest Scotland game of all time, some of the greatest Scotland goals of all time. And his dad says the World Cup's round the corner. Everybody wants to be there. Will Harvey Barnes be there? I can't even say his name.
I don't know what the biggest shock was on Tuesday night, whether it was Scott McTominay's overhead kick, Kenny McLean's goal from the halfway line, or the fact that Gordon DL was at Hampden showing some sort of emotion.
It was incredible. I've got to say, right,
to get emotional right there.
Yeah,
again.
First and foremost, I was emotional. It was a privilege to be there. And I've got to say, in all my career, and David, I think, will back this up, the national anthem was unbelievable. It was out of this world. I could not believe. And I was watching the gantry, ex-players there, Scottish ex-internationals, everybody, and the emotion, you could actually feel it in the ground, was incredible.
I didn't think I would experience a better atmosphere at Hampden than the Lee Griffiths game when he scored 2 goals, 2 free kicks against England. But as Dad says, from the fireworks to the national anthem to the game to the noise, they greeted Kieran Tierney's goal, the Scott McTominay goal, everything about it. It was such a great occasion, such a great event in general, with the outcome that we all wanted and that for a while we didn't think we were going to get. But it's just a monumental achievement from Steve Clarke.
And I've never heard Scotland fans disagreeing with each other as much when Kenny McLean went through. Half of them were shouting, pass it and take it into the corner, and the other half were shouting, shoot. It was incredible.
Would you have taken the shot?
No, I couldn't have reached that, mate.
You could not kick the ball that far.
I could not have reached that. I swear, in my heyday, I could never have kicked the ball that far.
It's incredible, isn't it? Professional footballer, how many goals he scored and he couldn't even attempt to kick the ball that far.
He must have been able to kick the ball that far.
I could never achieve that. It would be like golf to me. I'd have had to lay up at par 3, lay up and then kick it over Schmeichel. But it was sensational.
What was the furthest goal out you scored?
20 yards maybe. that was probably my distance. I literally, and then see when I, and it worse, because I remember having a shootout with penalty kicks with Gordon Duncan, who fancies himself as a footballer. He's hopeless. And I couldn't even score from a penalty spot and he was banging them in like he's there.
You haven't brought up, and I'm surprised you've not brought it up though, you have got an overhead kick in your locker.
Yeah, but that's in the 18-yard box. That's where I earned my living.
Yeah, that's
there.
True.
You didn't need to kick it far there. But I'll tell you what an achievement it was. Because I was certainly one, I don't know what camp you were in, David, I was standing next to Kenny Miller, and Kenny, you know Kenny, very selfish striker, and 60-odd caps with Scotland, great goal scorer Kenny, and both of us were shouting, run into the corner, run into the corner, and then all of a sudden, you just, it was like slow motion, you're watching, you're thinking, oh, Schmeichel's not getting back here, and the scenes were incredible.
Well, it was an incredible night on Tuesday, and what has been just as incredible has been the stories that we have been hearing on the phones about how you experience the game, what it has meant to you out there, that Scotland are back on the world's biggest stage for the first time since 1998. So we want to keep those calls coming, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you just needed a day to soak it all in and you want to share your story of how you saw the game on Tuesday night, what it means to you, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to move things on. A chief exec of the SFA, Ian Maxwell, saying today, talking about Steve Clarke that discussions will be had over his future. Do you think Steve Clarke should be getting a new contract? Is that something that should be wrapped up pretty soon? Do you think he'll even want to stay after the World Cup as well? 01419511025. Harvey Barnes. It's a topic that I think is going to cause a lot of debate because he has done an interview with Sky Sports and he sort of left the possibility open that he could potentially switch allegiance from England to Scotland. He does have one England cap, but still qualifies to play for Scotland. Would you want to see him as part of that World Cup squad? Or is that a no-go area for you? So 01419511025. Of course, the domestic action is back this weekend. In no time, we will all be back fighting on this show. That's just what happens. Maybe you want to turn your attentions to that a bit later on. But 01419511025. Let's speak to Gary, who is in Blantyre. Gary, how are you feeling a couple of days on?
Guy, Andrew and Gordon. I don't know who else is on. Who else is on tonight?
David Friel.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Hope you're all well. Hope you're all still buzzing after the other night.
Absolutely.
It was only today, this morning, but I actually felt my voice going. So it took me a couple of days for the kind of... the shouting to take effect on my voice, but totally worth it. I was 18 the last time we in France, a young apprentice. I remember the day we played Brazil in the first game, and we got away from work early to watch the game. And at that point, again, we'd qualified in 1990 and we'd 1996, and it wasn't such a kind of a novel situation to find ourselves in, being at major tournaments. But there was a period of time there, probably most guys in my generation thought we might never see in our lifetime another World Cup qualification. So to do it is honestly, it's more than just what it's done for the football team, football fans. It's a kind of feel-good factor for the whole nation. Everybody's talking about it. What a great night. I actually thought, after 3 minutes when Tomine done his overhead kick, I'm thinking, right, get another one quick, just finish this off. But I bet that's a bit kind of silly, being Scottish, because we don't do things easy. But I would rather have done it that way than go and win 3 or 4-0. Now that we've done it, that was the best way to do it. It was just sensational. And I'm so kind of proud of the guys, proud of the manager. It's just brilliant, honestly. Still buzzing.
The fact that it has been so long since the last World Cup that Scotland were in, and so many people have talked about, you know, back in the 90s, prior to that, it was just the norm, really. People were just used to Scotland qualifying for World Cups. Will people just savour this one a bit more because you never know when the next one might come around?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm the same generation as Gary. I mean, I was probably just kind of my later years of high school for France 98. So you grew up. I can barely remember 86, but you can remember World Cup 90, Euro 92, Euro 96, and World Cup 98. And you think about that, Scotland qualified for 4 tournaments within 8 years, and we had a rich history before that, Andrew. So I think it was just the norm. I remember being at Celtic Park for the game against Latvia that got Scotland to France 98. And I can remember the celebrations, but at the time it was the norm. You know, it wasn't anything outlandish. So for it to be that long, I think you become almost conditioned to disappointment that it's never going to happen again, or it might be another 10, 20 years. And for every disappointment, there has been a lot over the years. We've had some really good groups of players. We've had some big wins. You think of the France game, you think all the guys of that generation, Kenny Miller, James McFadden, Scott Brown, all those guys, and even before them, they were very good teams, but they missed out in the finals. And for it just to all come together on Tuesday night and to end that barren run and get back to a World Cup, because the Euros were good, but the World Cup's a pinnacle. And to do it in such style, in such dramatic fashion, in front of your home crowd, 50,000 fans, it's hard to beat that.
Doesn't even feel real yet, does it, that Scotland are going to the tournament next summer? Certainly not to me, anyway.
No, the biggest achievement for me, there's a few things. We achieved it as group winners from pot 3.
And I've seen talk of people saying, oh, you know, it's great to see nations like Scotland qualify, and that's what the expanded tournaments are all about. We won our group.
Exactly.
We would have qualified even if it wasn't an expanded
tournament.
And by
the way, it's not the worst group, you've got to say. We took a bit of criticism along the way. You know, you can remember the phone calls we were getting after Belarus. We won that. So I think a lot of credit. Then, the beginning of the game the other night, 10, 15 minutes prior, we get the news in that John Souter is now having to withdraw. Grant Hanley comes in, and you're thinking, was it going to be one of those nights? then you're sitting there, and I don't know how David felt, but I'm sure a lot of Scotland fans, I was actually got to the stage, I was sitting watching the game, I looked at the clock, and I thought, oh, here we go again. This is going to be one of these playoff situations. We're blowing a big chance. And then it just became a fairy tale. And it was absolutely brilliant. I do agree with Gary. Now, because we've achieved it, it was a brilliant way to do it. But I'd rather win 3 or 4-0.
Gary, have you got your plans in place already? Are you trying to get over to North America next summer?
So, I'm getting married next year. So, basically, next year is going to consist of us winning the World Cup and then getting married. So, that's absolutely sensational.
I thought
year.
You were about to say you were going to have to cancel the wedding there for a second.
No, I value my life too much. But I've got family in Calgary in Canada. So see how the finances are. If the wedding's paid off in enough time, we might get to book flights to Canada. See if Scotland are playing anywhere in Canada. But listen, if I'm not there, if I'm not in Canada, I'm going to be here watching Scotland win the World Cup. And I didn't think I'd get to see that again, honestly, for a number of years. But can I just touch on Steve Clarke? First of all, I think he might leave after the World Cup, regardless of what happens. I think that he might have think he's done it for a long time. Can he take us any further? I don't think we're ever going to kind of win a World Cup or a Euros. So does he bow out on a high? If he could beat 3 games in the group stages of the World Cup, it's still, in my opinion, it's still a high for Steve Clarke because he's got us the World Cup. I just don't know if he's... I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know. But and the other point, just before you touch on that, Harvey Barnes, the sceptic in me says that he wants to be part of the party because Scotland are going to the World Cup, and he might be more chance of a game for Scotland or a squad place for Scotland than England. I don't. He's a good player, and you can't kind of knock these players back. But I think a lot of the country will maybe think, oh, he's just doing this now because we're in the World Cup. So it'd be nice if he'd done it this time last year before the qualification started. And no, just because we've made it, he now wants to kind of leave the door open for us.
We'll hear the audio about from Harvey Barnes shortly. It's not as if it's like a plea from Harvey Barnes saying that he wants to be in the squad. I think it was just a pre-arranged interview. He had a sit down with Sky Sports, and the interviewer thought it's a good opportunity to ask him about it. And he sort of leaves the door open.
He does, and it's a perfect chance to ask him about it. I think this is a really tricky one because, as Gary's saying, he's a good player. And Andrew, we saw, especially when Ben Gannon-Doak went off the pitch tonight, Scotland don't have any wingers. You know, we're really, really short in that area. And there's no doubt that he would improve the squad. However, is it just cynical that Scotland are World Cup? I don't think it's a simple one. I think if I'm Steve Clarke, I wouldn't be closing the door, but I would imagine he would have to have a real honest conversation with the likes of Andy Robertson, John McGinn, Scott McTominay about how the wider group would feel about it.
Because it's something that could potentially annoy sort of current players, if they feel that they've been through all these qualification campaigns, earned the right to go to the World Cup, and then all of a sudden someone who appears to have maybe knocked back advances previously then just swans in.
Do you not think it'll be down to where we are at that time, as in squad players? Listen,
but then
injuries.
Is Scotland going to be able to kind of magic up another winger with pace that's not Ben Gannon-Doak?
This is what I'm saying. I think David makes a great point, because when he went off the other night there, we had nobody that he brings what he brings to the table. Absolutely nobody. But we still achieved what we achieved. I think if you were looking right now and say, see that full Scotland squad? They're fit for the World Cup. For me, I think they deserve to get. But you could have 3-4 people missing with injuries, whatever it may be, and you might just look at a Harvey Barnes and think, he is a good player and he gives us something different. I think it'll depend on circumstances.
Yeah. Well, thank you to Gary. Let's speak to Brendan in Greenfield. Brendan, are you still on a high from Tuesday night?
I'm still absolutely buzzing. It was a wee sort of backstory to it. Was my wife bought the tickets this time last year when it was basically down as Scotland versus Portugal/Denmark, because they had to play off. One of them went through to the Nations League later stages of that, and then the loser came into Scotland's group. She never told us she'd booked them. She only told us a couple of months ago. It then progressed to what Tuesday was before kick-off, what it was set up to be. And it was just an absolute privilege to be there. You know, it was just... I was there with my wife, my two sons. My two sons are 13 and 10. And to see the absolute joy on their faces and to experience that with them is just something that will never, ever leave me. Never, ever leave me.
Are you a big fan of international football, Brendan? You're saying the tickets were bought for you. Has this maybe changed your view or your mind on it?
No, it has. I'm not a big fan of international football, to be honest. I'm more of a Celtic man. But obviously, you always want to see your country do well. But it was just, Gordon touched on it earlier on about the national anthem. It was just spine tingling. You know, the place was just. I've been to Christ knows what, 500-600 games in my life. You know, and it was up there. You know, it was up there. It was just unbelievable. As I said, it was an absolute privilege to have been there. You know, so
it's incredible because it has captured the imagination of everyone in the country. My sister was watching the game. I'm not sure she could name any of the Scotland players at all. And from what she's told me, she was getting wrapped up in it and she was getting excited by what was happening.
I mean, I've got a wee five-year-old girl who came in and asked me if Scotland had scored 4 goals the night before. And I said, who told you that? And our teacher told her. But yeah, just everybody. And you know, as Brendan's saying, we live in a country that's dominated by club football. And it's so tribal and it can be divisive and it's all built on at times rows and controversy and everything. So see, to get this almost this light relief in the middle of it all, Andrew, and the kind of the greatest of highs, it's brilliant. You know, I'm not going to say it's going to unite the nation and everybody that supports different clubs is going to suddenly come together, but I think the amount of people who just want to talk about the Scotland national team over the last 48 hours and before that as well has been incredible. And you just think, what's the summer going to be like?
Well, what it's done is it's highlighted the younger generation to our game. You know, how many people since Tuesday night, you're listening to the phone in last night, you'll probably hear it tonight, that guys sat there and they watched it with their kids. They were there with their kids. They experienced it. That's something that the kids will cherish for the rest of their days and probably find a love of football. So it's been absolutely brilliant for the nation.
Well, thank you to Brendan. 01419511025. Plenty more time to get your calls in.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are keeping the Scotland positivity going here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and David Friel here with me, Andrew McLean. Keep those calls coming. 0141 951 1025. G-Dog has got in touch on Twitter. He says, took my 12-year-old son to Hampden to watch his first ever Scotland game on Tuesday. It will live with him forever. He literally cried tears of joy when those last two Scotland goals went in. What a night. Memories made. That is what it's all about. We actually ran a poll last night to see what the best Scotland goal of all time is now, because we sort of reckon that the McTominay and McLean goals are now in at least the top four alongside Archie Gemmill and James McFadden.
Scott
McTominay's number one.
Yeah,
has to be number one.
By far and away won the poll with 68.9% of the vote. Then Archie Gemmill second, Kenny McLean third, James McFadden now fourth.
Oh, James, well, it's a tough school, but I've got to say, I would probably say that McTominay's goal is the best goal I've seen live ever.
Mm-hmm. Same for you.
I think it's best Scotland goal, probably best goal Hampden's ever witnessed. People are talking about Zinedine Zidane. For me, McTominay's was better.
Yeah, totally, totally agree. Right, let's go back to the phones. Jordan is in Cooper. Jordan, how did you experience that on Tuesday?
Evening, Andrew, Gordon and David.
Hello,
how are you?
I hope you're all doing well. No, I have to agree, the McTominay goal is definitely the best goal I've ever seen. Like, ever. Probably in football, never mind for Scotland. All four of them could probably take the top four because they've done a lot more than the other recommendations. But yeah, Harvey Barnes, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Absolutely
no way. No way.
Why not?
He turned us down previously. He never got us to the World Cup. He wasn't interested in being in the squad in the lead up to the Euros or the World Cup. But guess what? Now we're in the World Cup, he might be interested because England are not interested in him. I'm sorry, but what does it say to the players that got us to the World Cup? What does it say to players like Josh Mulligan at Dundee, Lennon Miller? I know they might not play the same position, but they're still young boys. They're still in they still get in and around the squads. They might not have played games, but that just bombs them out a chance of going to a World Cup for somebody a turncoat that decided he wanted to get in Scotland squad because we got to a World Cup. No.
Well, we don't know yet whether he definitely has said absolutely that he wants in the squad. It kind of seems of, you know what, let's hear what he had to say. This was what Harvey Barnes said when asked by Sky Sports, I think it was yesterday, last night, about the possibility of representing Scotland.
it's not something I've really looked or spoke about, especially recently. It's just not something that's really cropped up in that sense. So it's not something I've really put too much thought into. It's I know there's always been the sort of talk about it, and you know, a while ago there was a few little bits and bobs about it, but yeah, especially recently, it's just not really something that's sort of been on my mind, but nothing that's really been spoken about. So it's something I've not really put any real thought into. It was you know, great to see them get through last night, and it was a crazy game. So I'm sure everyone is kind of enjoying themselves this morning.
It sounds like from the way you're speaking there, though, it's not closed off.
No, of course it's not. You know, I've obviously played for England, and I know the eligibility side's still there. So it's hard to say either way. But yeah, like I said, there's been no real chats or any sort of progression in that sense.
I might have this wrong, but Shea Adams certainly at one point spoke to Alex McLeish about the prospect of playing for Scotland, decided at that time it wasn't right. Then in the lead up to Euro 2020, which actually took place in 2021, he then accepted the invite to play for Scotland. I think his first cap came in the March of that year, was included in the squad. Nobody looks at Shea Adams now and says, oh, I can't believe that, you know, he turned down Scotland before, because people just look at him as being a good contributor for Scotland because he goes on the pitch and gives his all. Is this situation different for you?
I think it's different because it's the World Cup, and mm-hmm. because this group of players have achieved something that no other has done in, what, close to 30 years. And I think it's a tricky situation. If it was made clear to Steve Clarke that Harvey Barnes would be willing to come up, I think it's tricky. But I think Jordan speaks for a lot of Scotland supporters who just don't want to entertain it at all. And that is completely understandable because, as Jordan says, you would be denying a young Scottish player, potentially like Mulligan or someone like that, a place in the squad. So I fully understand that. I think Steve Clarke, if it does come to a point where he has to make a decision on it, has to also look at loyalty to these players, how it would impact the group, but also could Scotland do with a player of that calibre?
To be honest with you, it'd be fair to the player, right? He's not sitting there with Scotland strip on, singing, I'll be coming. You know what I mean? It's not happening just now. He's been asked a question in an interview. What's he supposed to say, right? I keep going down to one thing. I totally agree. And listen, it's very hard to argue with Jordan. And a lot of the Tartan Army Scottish fans will be the exact same. Look, the guys that have put their, Steve Clarke put their trust in, deserves every opportunity. But I keep going back to it, and I think Dave come up with a great you know, answer to it, with the fact that, have a look at his other night there, right? When Gannon don't come off the pitch, we end up with just all midfield players. We couldn't go up the park because we didn't have a ball carrier, really. You know, we didn't have that Gannon Doak that looked electric in the first, you know, 5, 10, 15. He looked absolutely brilliant until he came off the pitch. I'm not saying I'm for it. I just think we'll need to see where the situation is. Harvey Barnes might not be for it.
No.
You know, he's not come out there and went, yeah, well, listen, if Steve Clarke phones me, I've got my passport out. I think it's a wee bit unfair on him.
Jordan is a forward, a winger that got 9 Premier League goals last season. There's an argument to say that he does improve the attacking options that Scotland have, could potentially give Scotland a better chance of, you know, progressing or getting better results at the World Cup. But is that sort of all put to the side for you?
For me, yeah, it is not. He didn't play any part in getting us here. Remember Elliot Adamson? Remember when he came up and then left in the middle of the night because he got a call from England? This could be another situation. Oh, we'll call him up and then he'll leave in the middle of the night because Thomas Tuchel's phoned him and said, oh, by the way, you might be one of them 50 players that I'm going to give a heads up to might get in the squad. Nah, I'm sorry. Just, it's not for me.
But have you been supportive of Shea Adams in his time in a Scotland jersey?
Shea Adams got us to Euros, got us to World Cup, played a part.
But going into that first Euros, he didn't play the part in the qualification process. He actually got into the squad after Scotland. Okay. No, that's a fair argument.
Yep. We're talking about a World Cup. We're not talking about a Euros. We're talking about a World Cup. We're going to bomb out potentially a player that's played a part in the squad to get us there. It's just not fair. I'm sorry, we shouldn't be entertaining it.
But there are also players that are in the squad that that maybe haven't played a big part in helping. They are big squads. Some players don't even make the bench. Some players have only got on for a certain amount of minutes. Is it fair to say that, you know, there are maybe some players that you would contribute a lot more than that maybe haven't,
yeah,
you know, have been in squads? But then obviously there's a loyalty of guys who have been there and taken part in squads and been patient despite the fact that they're not getting on the pitch.
Yeah, and listen, as Dad said, I think it might maybe even come down to who's available. Look, it's a sad part of kind of club football. Someone will probably get injured and miss this tournament. We hope it doesn't happen, but they probably will. You know, there's a lot of focus here on what Harvey Barnes has said. I think the most important thing is probably what Steve Clarke thinks. Is it something Steve Clarke wants to pursue? I think John Carver was maybe kind of more involved right at the time. John Carver's obviously no longer with the SFA. He's from Newcastle, he's from the area. He was definitely involved in the Elliot Anderson thing and also the Harvey Barnes thing at the time. So I think it might come down to what Steve Clarke feels. Is it something that he wants to pursue and find out the answer? But I think it'd be a really tough decision to put him in.
Well, thank you to Jordan. Ian is in Renfrew. Ian, what is on your mind? Is it the World Cup? Is it the game on Tuesday night? How you were feeling during it?
I'm absolutely buzzing off the back of that. I've actually, about an hour ago, I got out to get Scott McTominay's bicycle kick tattooed my arm. So that's
who talks you out of it
for me. That's how big a moment it was for me. You know, you know, it's something I'll never forget.
Did you say you got it or someone?
Yeah, it's done.
You actually got it.
We need to get
that. Sorry, I thought you said someone talked him out of it. I didn't realise you actually got it. That's brilliant.
It's done. One of my good friends is a tattoo artist in the West End, so I messaged her at full time after a few drinks and just said, "Would you do this for me?" And it still seemed like a good idea when I got up yesterday morning. So
we need a photo, Ian. We need a photo.
All right, I can send one over.
Definitely.
Can I get your number, Dazzler?
No, but your tattoos can.
What did it have to be the Scott McTominay? Did it have to be the Scott McTominay goal? Was there no chance it was going to be Kenny McLean or any other moment from the game?
Do you know what it was? It's just that picture. It's iconic. Just the one where he's in kind of midair. Actually, I'd phoned up just to ask a kind of question as well. I think the last two tournaments we've had obviously kind of Billy Gilmore kind of was a big success story out of Euro 2020, and then Euro 2024, I think Gannon Doak obviously was the one that kind of come off the back of that. I know he never played at the tournament, but I just wonder if that's something. There's a bit of a kind of theme there, and I wondered if the panel thought there was maybe a kind of breakout star that we might see come out of this World Cup. Or if, you know, there are people that you think maybe this is kind of it for their Scotland career. And where do you see those kind of positions where we might see somebody come in, somebody new or somebody younger come into the team? Are there any names that you think are players that might kind of break into the Scotland side?
That's the exciting thing, that we have qualified so early, that there is so much time until next summer. So much will happen between now and next summer that there may be players that emerge in that time that end up having a brilliant season and work their way into the squad. There may be players that work their way out of the squad based on form, although Steve Clarke is very loyal to the guys that have helped them get to tournaments. That's kind of all part of the fun of going to a World Cup, isn't it?
Yeah, as you say, it was so early. It was great to just be able to sit and watch the playoff draw today in the office, and no pressure, no Scotland weren't in it. It was great. In terms of breakout start, I mean, if you'd asked me this question maybe a month ago, Ian, I would have said Kieran Bowie. So I think the way he started the season and what he's got is something different to what Scotland have got up front. But his form has tailed off.
A little bit like Dykes in a way.
I think he's a better footballer, maybe.
Yeah, but I agree. I think he got off to a brilliant start with Hibs. I think he needs to learn to play the position for me a bit better. I look at younger players that I think going to just be, by the time June comes round and we're brilliant in the middle of the park, Lennon Miller. You know what I mean? He's got all the talent in the world. He's now overnight. He's going to be a top player. I think he'll be a great plus going to the World Cup, hopefully.
Hopefully he starts to get a bit more game time over in Italy, though. He's not really featuring all that much.
And that's what I'm saying. If you look at the next kind of batch coming through, you would say, obviously, Lennon Miller, Ben Gannon Doak and Kieran Bowie. And I think for all of them, we hope Ben Gannon Doak gets over his injury. for Lennon Miller, it's just about game time. And, you know, it was always going to take a bit of adapting, I think, going over to Serie A. And, I mean, you know, I think the manager's made it clear that he expects a bit better from him at certain times just on the ball. To go back to Bowie, he started so well, he's tailed off, he's lost his place in the squad to Lauren Shankland, who made the most of that chance. But I still feel that he's got something to offer Scotland going forward, and it's up to him now. I mean, as you say, you've got 6 months, 6-7 months to go and show Steve Clarke you should be in the squad.
Is there anyone for you, Ian, anyone on your mind that could be a breakout star?
I think, you know, Miller's obviously a slightly different one because he's kind of been in and around the squad already. I think there's nobody that kind of comes to mind, and that's why I was kind of wanting to ask the panels. There's nobody like in that kind of Gilmore mold or sort of Gannon Doak mold where they're at a big club, they're maybe on the cusp of breaking through, and Steve Clarke can kind of give them a chance to do that. You know, I think obviously Bowie's a wee, I think it's a good point, but maybe a wee bit older than perhaps they were when they kind of broke into that squad. So I think it's something that lifted the fans a wee bit pre-tournament. You know, you've got this exciting new, it's like having a shiny new toy, isn't it? You know, this exciting new young stars kind of breaking into the squad. It's something that kind of gives you a bit of hope for the future and somebody that you're kind of looking forward to watching going forward. But off the top of my head, there's maybe not kind of anyone sort of coming to mind like that just now.
Andrew, you watch under-21s quite a lot. I don't think there are people in that squad really banging the door down as things stand, you know, and we talk quite a lot about the Scotland squad being kind of ageing slightly, but then you do look at Billy Gilmore, Lennon Miller in it, Josh Doig's in it, Andy Irving, you look at Alan Hickey. I mean, Alan Hickey, what a talent he is, yeah. And he's only 22, 23 as well. So there is a bit of youth there, but I think, to go back to the kind of original question, I think the really, really good young ones are in and about it.
I think for me, it's all about positions, right? I think we can cover nearly every position, but I think it was highlighted when Gannon Doak went off the pitch the other night there. We need other players like that mould. And you might even argue, do we need a sort of a different, and you mentioned Bowie there. As you say, 6-7 months down the line, he could be a lot, lot different. I think we need maybe something different up front as well. So that's the two I would be, if I was Steve Clarke, I'd be hoping that they two positions would just jump out as.
Well, thanks to Ian, 01419511025. Keep those calls coming, and I will tell you about this while you do. Yeah, I think a few of you out there might be in for a pretty expensive summer next year after what's happened this week, so maybe you might want to get involved in this, because Make Me a Winner is the biggest competition on radio, and somebody always wins. Get your entry in now for the chance to win £650,000 in tax-free cash. To enter, for £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you'll get 15 entries. For that, you can text YES to 61025, or if you want to get 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Text are £10 plus your standard network rate, or you can phone 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow, so make sure to get your entries in before then. And if you do get the call, all you need to do is just answer your phone, and that's it. You've won £650,000, and it'll be paid straight into your bank account right after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and David Friel here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. And as you can imagine, it is all things Scotland. So keep those calls coming, 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Scottish FA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell, shall we? He's been speaking today about the events of Tuesday night, what it means for the national side, but he's been speaking about Steve Clarke as well. He says he is Scotland's greatest ever manager and is backing him to get a knighthood.
We will never see anything like it again, and it's just important that we enjoy it. I think the game as a standalone had everything between red cards, penalties, three of the best goals you'll ever see. But when you add the context to that about not having qualified for so long, there was just so many highs and so many lows within the same 90 minutes. And to get the last, 4 or 5 minutes that we did was just unbelievable to see. We can't underestimate how big an achievement it is for Steve and the guys, the impact that it will have up and down the country. Yeah, he's got to be. And, you know, the number of finals that he's managed to get is to be an incredible achievement. I think when he got the job, if anybody had written down, this is what the next 6 or 7 years are going to look like, every single one of us would have said, where do we sign? To qualify for 3 out of the last 4 major finals is incredible. He's been incredible for us as a country. And listen, I think the clamours for Sir Steve Clarke are very well merited. It's really interesting because it wasn't that long ago after the Euros that there was a clamour from a lot of football fans that we needed to change the manager, and then he's done exceptionally well, and now the conversation switches to contract. And listen, that's football. We'll take a bit of stock and think about all that in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, I mean, Ian Maxwell maybe a bit coy there on whether Steve Clarke is likely to extend his contract and what talks are going to look like. But the fact that nothing has been sorted yet, what does that tell you, if anything?
I think the World Cup will be his last dance, if you want to call it that, Andrew. He has achieved incredible things, as Ian Maxwell said, when Steve Clarke took over, 2019, if he'd have said that Scotland would qualify for 3 finals, go back to the World Cup, everybody would have taken it. I think he's done his bit. And for me, it probably won't get higher than the World Cup. It was the pinnacle. It was what he wanted to do. He's managed to do it. And I just wonder where, come the end of the World Cup, he'll just walk away.
Because I did wonder, there was a train of thought that potentially Steve Clarke would see it as, is this, you know, his last chance to get Scotland to a World Cup? And if he doesn't do it, then, well, you know, he just walk away and not wait another 4 years. And then also, if he gets Scotland to a World Cup, is it going out on a high of getting there? What would be the motivation for Steve Clarke to stay on after getting Scotland to a World Cup?
I'm with David. I think the pinnacle has been reached. I think to get to a World Cup and what he's achieved, it's very hard to keep that going. And you know what like football is. Listen, if a bad World Cup and then a bad start after it, all of a sudden you're under pressure again. And also you wonder now if Steve Clarke, he's been a Scotland manager and... Is he want to go back to being a club manager day in, day out, hands on? And a lot of managers love that. He looks like the kind of guy that likes on the training pitch, doing his coaching and everything like that. So to reach the World Cup and what he's achieved with Scotland, I totally agree. I'd be very surprised if he stayed on after the World Cup.
I think it's been a long stint as well. You know, he's managed Scotland more than any other of his predecessors. And as Dad said as well, he has mentioned a couple of times how he might have a bit of unfinished business in the club game. So I think if he's going to get back into that, what is he now, 63? He probably would look at the next couple of years as being key to that. So, look, I think it'll be up to him. I think he will decide. There'll be a lot of talk about contracts. And I think if he wants to stay on, there will be a contract there for him. If he wants to go, which I think he probably will, then I think he'll just walk away.
Simon is in Hindland. Simon, what are you making of it all?
Hi guys, hope you're all doing well. Yeah, just wanted to talk about the other night and the situation going on there. It's actually interesting. I'll speak about Steve Clarke first, if you don't mind, before I go into the game. I think that, you know, I've been a big, you know, proponent of Steve Clarke. I've seen him firsthand at Kilmarnock. I know exactly the work he can do. He's an amazing manager. Even at the tough spells, you know, I'd feel faith in him that he'd be the man to pull it through. I kind of probably do agree that he'll see it as the time to go, but I think the SFA should be doing everything in their power to try and get him to stay. You know, he lives in London. I think that's probably a real bonus for him, that he can get out of the fervour of Scotland, make his own decisions, make his own mind up about things without being influenced by, you know, living up here and the craziness that is up here at times. I think that helps him out. If I had to put money on it, my last pound, I'd probably say that he'll go and go back into club management. But yeah, I'd absolutely love him to stay. I think he's the greatest manager of all time that we've had. And yeah, he's just one man.
Yeah, I was speaking to Alex McLeish yesterday, Gordon, and he was saying that essentially Steve Clarke, if he wants it, should have the job for life, just given what he's done over the last few years. Do you think that's how the SFA will view it, that if Steve Clarke wants to continue in the job, the contract will be there and all he needs to do is sign it?
Yeah, yeah. And why not? Who better are you going to get and what's you going to come in and achieve that Steve Clarke hasn't? Steve Clarke had to fight against a lot of doubters, you've got to say. He came in for a lot of criticism, especially after the Euros as well. I think a lot of Scotland fans and, you know, looking at it, thought, right, it's time for a change. But he stood by it. and look at what he's achieved. And yeah, listen, he deserves every single thing he gets, even down to the fine detail. I was sitting at the game, and obviously David and guys will have different opinions, and I knew Hickey from the beginning. He didn't look 100% to me, and I'm thinking, right, okay, Hickey's got to come off here. I never seen Tierney come on right back, right? He's three substitutions, but the three of them scored, right? So he's got to get a lot of praise. Yes, he's had games where he's been questioned about his attacking style, everything. Plays it very, very safe. The one thing he's achieved, and it's the most important thing in football, it's a results-driven business, and he's got his two tournaments.
Simon, how was Tuesday night for you?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I was going to phone last night, but I was still feeling a bit rough. I couldn't manage it. My partner and I met a couple of a Danish couple in town. I ended up swapping scarves with them and woke up with one of their scarves on. So that's the kind of night it was. It was unbelievable. I was thinking, I was trying to put together if it was the greatest moment I've ever witnessed in football. I think the only other one that came close was Dieter van Turnhout's header against Celtic in the League Cup final. And then I was thinking, is that better? And yeah, it definitely is, because in my head anyway, because just what it meant to the whole nation, it brought everyone together. It was just an incredible game, incredible atmosphere. I feel like that atmosphere at Hampden since the Euros has been really, really weird. I don't know if it's a sense of Scottish people have went from hope to expectation. I think that's a little bit of it, that we were like, okay, you know, go and prove to us you can do it. Rather than, you know, the hope that it used to be. But the atmosphere last night again was back to its best. I think it's going to be a crazy build up. I don't think the squad will change too much from what it is just now. There's going to be one or two wild cards, obviously. People coming in form, I think Tommy Conway maybe has a chance of pushing out guys. But that's probably, you know, you're looking at, I think, the majority of the squad's the one that was there last night. But yeah, I think we're already booked up. We booked our flights.
Already?
Yeah, already we're going from Glasgow to Dublin, Dublin to Dallas. It's apparently a good hub. So we looked into it, and there's quick flights to Mexico. You can get it pretty much anywhere in the States from there. So that's going to be our hub. We're going 2 days before the first game, and fingers crossed we get the geography pretty well. But in terms of money, it was the best decision to make. So at least we're over there. We're in that bit of the world, and we can figure it out from there. But yeah, it's going to be a crazy. I was watching the playoff draw today, and I just kept laughing, you know, that we were already there, you know, and looking at some of the draws and some of the teams we could have played, the way to Italy and things like that. And you think, well, we've just done it. It's just amazing and great to see the entire nation behind. The videos have been incredible. And yeah, it's just been a great few days to be a Scotland fan, a great few days to be Scottish, great few years, actually, when you think about it, to be Scottish. In terms of supporting the national team. So just hopefully the next few months go well. Everybody stays injury free. Players, I'm expecting all the Scotland players to have the form of their lives for the next few months, to be honest with you. And let's see how it goes next summer.
I do love that, the commitment that Scotland have. We have no idea where Scotland are playing, who they're playing. It's a tournament that is spanning hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles, and people are getting their flights booked already just to make sure they're over there and then work it out from there.
Simon's right. Done his homework, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I'll bet there people listen. That's in God.
Suddenly the flights
idea.
To Dallas are going through the roof. I love your preparation, Simon. Outstanding.
Brilliant. Thank you to Simon. 0141 951 1025. Another hour of your calls to come. But as always, we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on either Gordon DL or David Friel at Beat the Pundit. Get your call in 0141 951 1025, and you could be up next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and David Friel here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. 102.5, a lot of Scotland positivity, as you'd expect. So we want you to keep that coming. 0141 951 1025, maybe some side stories alongside that. Steve Clark's future, what does that hold? SFA Chief Exec Ian Maxwell has been speaking today about that. What do you feel should be done about his contract situation? Could Harvey Barnes be part of the Scotland squad that travels to North America next summer? He has been speaking in the last 24 hours about the possibility. He sort of left the door open to it. Is that something you would welcome or something you would be against? Maybe you want to turn the attention to domestic football as well. Celtic have their AGM tomorrow. Still no permanent manager in place going into that game against St Mirren this weekend. So any thoughts? Oh, my voice was just about to go there. Any thoughts on that? That was a Gordon DL that I did there. Any thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I genuinely think that is because if anyone was listening to the show on Tuesday night, I was sat in this chair watching the game with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen, shouting at the top of my voice every time the ball hit the back of the net. So I think my voice is still recovering from that.
Well, make sure my voice is okay. I think we're all joining in here. Make sure your voice is okay for the next.
Yeah, it's going to be
seconds.
A great lesson for the people at home. Just
I think we're all a bit tired and emotional this weekend.
That's true, right? David is in Hamilton, going to play Beat the Pundit. David, are you tired and emotional?
No, I'm fresh, ready to go for it.
That might give you the advantage then over Gordon DL or David Friel. Who would you rather play?
Oh, I want the Dazzler.
Oh, shut up! You know you don't. Oh,
Mel, you should know Gordon because I won the five grand fan I guess 2 summers ago, so you're up at a competition now.
You won the 5 grand?
Aye, 5 grand fan hanging during the summer. I mean, I've beat a couple of pundits, I've beat Simon Donnelly 5 times and that, so.
See, to be fair, everybody's beat Simon Donnelly, so don't mention that. Mention another pundit or something. But you're up against two guys that are bang on form.
We'll see what happens, innit?
Well, he's confident.
Oh, yeah, he's confident.
Yeah, 4 wins in a row for you, Gordon DL.
And David's not been
3 from 3 this season.
3 from 3.
Right. It will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for David Friel. It will be the red side for Gordon DL. And it is the blue side of the coin. So it is going to be David Friel.
That's you beat David.
100% record intact. So we will put something else in the headphones of David Friel so he can't hear us. You know the rules, David, but I'll tell you it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Hi, neighbor.
Let's go. Scotland played their last World Cup match in which city?
Lons.
Who is the current Aberdeen captain?
Graham Shinney.
What stadium has the postcode G42NB9BA?
Dumbarton.
Which Scotland international has been linked with a £62 million move to Everton?
Pass.
Which other Scottish Premiership side did Stuart Kettlewell manage?
Ross County.
In which country will the first game of the 2026 World Cup be played?
Mexico.
Okay, we will bring David Friel back in. David, can you hear us?
Well, put his mic on.
He's got his mic on now. There we go.
He got a donut. Nothing.
He loves the main games. You've never played Beat the Pundit next to Gordon DL, have you?
Yeah, I know.
You want a nod? Do you want me?
Tunnel vision.
You need to zone out. Okay. You need to completely zone out. Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. Scotland played their last World Cup match in which city?
St Etienne.
Who is the current Aberdeen captain?
Graham Shinney.
What stadium has the postcode G429BA?
Celtic Park.
Which Scotland international has been linked with a £62 million move to Everton?
Scott McTominay.
Which other Scottish Premiership side has Stuart Kettlewell managed?
Motherwell.
In which country will the first game of the 2026 World Cup be played? What was the last Scottish manager, or who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish Premiership?
Gordon Strachan.
Okay, how do you think that went, David, on the line?
I kind of misled the colour questions. Obviously, one with Stuart Kettlewell.
Right, we will go.
No, you bawled it. You come on full of the confidence, and David tucked you away. Hang up and save your embarrassment, mate.
Right, we'll go through them. Scotland played their last World Cup match in which city? David on the line went for Lons. David in the studio went for St Etienne. It was St Etienne, so it is 1-0 to David Friel, who is the current Aberdeen captain. You both said Graham Shinney. You are both correct. What stadium? This is a tough one. What stadium has the postcode G42 9BA?
Fairhill.
topical. Come on. Hamden Park. Neither of you got it. So it is still 2-1 to David Friel. Which Scotland international has been linked with a £62 million move to Everton? David on the line past this. David Friel, a man who is across the news as a newspaper man, of course, got Scott McTominay. So it goes 3-1 to David Friel. My paper, the question is, which is confusing. It says, which other Scottish Premiership side did Stuart Kettlewell manage? The only answer on here is Motherwell, but Motherwell and Ross County are both correct answers. Stuart Kettlewell managed Ross County.
Premiership.
Were they not? They were in the Premiership at the time.
They are now.
They're in the Championship.
Oh, right. So even I'm getting tricked by these questions because David said Ross County, which I thought was correct, but obviously isn't because they're not a current Scottish Premiership side. So that's my bad. So it is a correct answer for David Friel, not for David on the line. So it goes 4-1 to David Friel. In which country will the first game of the 2026 World Cup be played? What happened to you here?
I know. It's Canada.
It's Mexico. Well, you had
somewhere.
I just said somewhere.
You had a 2 in 3 chance there because you said United States and Canada. It is Mexico. David on the line got it, so it goes 4-2. But that was his final question. You got one more in. Who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish Premiership? You went for Gordon Strachan. The answer is Walter Smith.
Doesn't matter, does it? David, how do you think that went for you?
Oh, it went great, didn't it?
It certainly did, mate. Yeah. How did you win money? Was that a toss of coin, heads or tails? You just went for heads.
I wanted you, so.
I would have tucked you away. David, you get two. You didn't even know Scott McTominay.
I know, but I've been at work all day, so.
Right, I'll be back out and doing our shift and phone next week.
Well, thank you.
See you on Tuesday then.
Cheers, well, thanks mate. To David on the line, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's hear a bit more from SFA Chief Executive Ian Maxwell, shall we? He has been saying that Tuesday night was the greatest ever Scott. Actually, in fact, let's hear from him talking about the World Cup, looking ahead to the tournament.
Now you've got Argentina and Brazil and USA and Canada and Mexico, they're in pot one, and that's a completely different experience for our players. It'll be a completely different experience for the fans to go and watch, and we need to try and prepare as well as we can. We've got to the last 2 Euros, we've not managed to progress from the group stage, and that has to be the ambition. You know, we want to look at how long we can stay in the tournament for, and that will be important for us. I will guarantee every host city are desperate for Scotland to come out of the hat because they know what they're going to get. They know the engagement, they know the number of fans that are going to travel. They know that we will make it an absolute party atmosphere, and I think the whole continent will be desperate to have some Scottish involvement from a matches perspective.
Yeah, the draw will take place on the 5th of December, so not too long to go. It's about 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yeah, 2 weeks tomorrow. I mean, it's coming around so quick, and as you said, Andrew, I mean, previous tournaments we've had to wait a little bit to find out. We're going to find out early where we're going to be, who we're going to play against.
What camp are you in? You want the real glamour ties.
So we know we actually can't get some of the big European teams because I think it has come out that as part of the draw, the European group winners won't be drawn against each other in the same group, but I mean, there's still plenty of glamour ties. Think about Brazil, Argentina. I think ideally what you want is you want one glamour team. You want a Brazil, Argentina, and then you want Curaçao
or Haiti
and Haiti. Something like two winnable games to get you through. And then one glamour tie. Is that the dream?
Yeah, and no, I would
we'll
normally
beat
go
Argentina and get beat.
Well, I was going to say I would normally go Brazil, but I think I would go Argentina this time.
Would you?
Mm-hmm. I'm the same. Argentina.
Yeah.
Messi's final World Cup.
Oh yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'd be having a bit.
Yeah,
of that.
I think you want to go glamour. You want the games that capture the imagination. As Andrew says, you hope there's one in there. You know, one very winnable one that's you would fancy your chances, and then you want the glamour. I think.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Craig is in Livingston. Craig, have you just been sort of reliving Tuesday night over and over in your head?
It's unbelievable. It's like I've said before, like I'm a big Celtic fan and that, but I've never experienced anything like that. One of my mates, he's been trying to stay off the drink, so drink responsibly, as they say. He eventually came round, and even he said, he went, I'm so glad I came round because I'll never forget that day for the rest of my life. And it's just phenomenal. Like, even my wife came in for work last night. She went, I'm sick of watching reruns on YouTube. Stop it. it's just like, and see the sad thing? It's like, you'll never get a moment of that ever again, I don't think, unless we got to the World Cup final in the last stages. But It's just ridiculous, and it's so good to have something positive, because you know what it's like in social media nowadays. There's Celtic fans that are bickering back and forth and that, and it was just good to have that moment for the whole country, and just seeing all the videos and that, it was amazing. It's goosebump stuff.
The one thing I love about the seeing Kenny McLean's goal over and over again is that you're seeing so many angles of it, more angles than any goal I've ever seen in my life, because basically everyone was filming for the reaction of the full-time whistle. Everyone had their phone out because they were waiting for that eruption as soon as the full-time whistle went, and then ended up catching one of the best goals that has ever been scored by a Scotland player.
I mean, you genuinely couldn't write the script. If you'd have said before the game, this is what's going to happen, and by the way, with the final kick of the ball, Kenny McLean from his own half is going to chip Kasper Schmeichel. Imagine writing that.
It was incredible. It was. You can't describe it. You know, no. I know people sat there and watched it on the TV, but to be there was absolutely... And there's not a lot of phases being footballs, you know, but it was absolutely incredible for me.
And because of social media now, as you say, Andrew, there's clips from everywhere. There's clips from pubs. There's clips from the game. And that's the good side of social media, where you can see what it means to everybody. You can see it from different angles. And even the video of the players watching... The rerun of Kenny McLean's goal from the dressing room.
All the goals were important. Let's give Shanklin a shout out. All the goals were important.
There's a striker speaking.
Right. Because these are the goals that... They're the bread and butter goals that are so important to us. But McTominay, the height he was... He was up before the ball had even left Gannon-Doak's foot. He was that high. It was incredible. And you were sitting there watching him and you're thinking in the stadium, what is he doing? And all of a sudden, oh, brilliant it was.
For Kenny McLean to have that moment, I mean, he's maybe been underappreciated by a lot of Scotland fans. He's faced criticism at times. People haven't liked the fact that Steve Clarke has stayed so loyal to him. But we've talked about it the last couple of nights. The moments, the catalogue of moments that Kenny McLean has in a Scotland shirt is absolutely unbelievable. Scoring the final Scotland penalty against Serbia, the goal away to Norway in the campaign after that, and then scoring from the halfway line to seal a win to take Scotland to the World Cup. It's a catalogue that you couldn't dream up.
I know. But I also think guys like Kenny McLean and even Scott McKenna coming in, I thought Scott McKenna played really well the other night, have been important for Steve Clarke. They've not always been the guys to start the games, but they're guys that he can rely on. I mean, Kenny McLean's now got over 50 caps, Andrew, and in certain games, Steve Clarke really trusts him. And I get there sometimes can be, you know, mumps and moans about surely give a younger player a chance and everything, but you know what you're going to get from Kenny McLean. Really good professional. And I think you can see as well the way he is around the squad. He's clearly a popular member of the squad, a senior guy around the squad.
I'm going to admit this, because I think when Kenny Miller's on the programme next time, he'll out me. I said about 10 minutes prior, we've not seen much of McLean tonight. He's been quiet.
But that's kind of how he operates, though, Kenny McLean. And for him to do that is sort of the antithesis of what he is about. If Kenny McLean is doing his job well, you're not shouting about what he's doing. He's sort of going about his job quietly and doing things well, then to do something absolutely spectacular.
But I do think he's always had that in him. I mean, I remember him as a young player coming through at St Mirren, going to Aberdeen. He kind of played a bit further forward. I think as time's gone on, as sometimes happen, you drift back the way. And I think Jim Duffy last night spoke about him just being Mr. Reliable, just a guy who'll come in and do a job. Sometimes there isn't a lot of flair about him, but he is capable of moments
like that. The confidence in his ability to do what he did, right? Because you think about it, when Tierney scored that magnificent goal, I was still a bit panicked, because they were a decent side, especially with 10 men as well.
You listen to any commentary about the Kieran Tierney goal, it goes in, and any commentary on any outlet, people are saying stuff like, that could be the goal, that might be the goal, because as Scotland fans, we're just waiting for the next thing to go wrong.
Andrew, that's the way I thought, right? And when Kenny McLean got the ball, and Kenny Miller and I are both shouting, take it in the corner, pass it, whatever, don't, right, and he goes to shoot. See if he mishits that and Schmeichel kicks it right up the park. You know, for him to have the confidence to say, do you know what, I'm going to end this game here, it was sensational.
Craig, what else is on your mind? Steve Clarke, Harvey Barnes, anything else?
No, my point was, obviously you've probably seen it a lot of outlets today about Harvey Barnes. I think it would be an excellent thing. I think we need to go over this, like, oh, I didn't want to come. We don't know the circumstances, if they spoke before, maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
you have to remember, he is English, so you would always want to hold up your own country. But I think as a small nation like ours, every country in the world does it. There's lots and lots and lots. I mean, look at that Curaçao team. A lot of them are Dutch nationals, so we can't be too picky. I think it'd be excellent. Ben Gandolk on the left, Harvey Barnes on the right. I think he's an excellent player, and I'm actually surprised he's not got more England caps, but I think it'd be a great addition. Like I said, that's to the producer. I think sometimes we lack that bit of quality in the final third. And you notice, especially over in Greece, we're quite solid at times. We can be good structured and good for going to, back to front. But we just sort of miss that bit of sort of magic in the final third. And I think he could really add to it. And I think, but it sounds his interview, it sounds like he's up for it. Let's get him in and then we can get him embedded in for a few friendlies and things like that. I think it'd be a great idea.
What about the argument, Craig, that players that have been, you know, loyal under Steve Clarke and have played a big part in getting Scotland to the World Cup, that one of these players will potentially miss out for a guy that has previously knocked Scotland back?
Listen, I just personally, like, I work in football, I've got my own football coaching business. I'm always saying to people, like, football is a ruthless industry. There's always somebody who's got to be better than you, and you have to have a thick skin, and I get that, you need to be a bit loyal on that, but also, there's certain players, again, I don't like dismissing professionals because they're doing something that I love, but I just think, if there's somebody better there, and they've got to do a better job for you, I like that, and especially in attacking areas, I mean, out wide, I mean, like I've said a few times about Celtic, we shouldn't be still having to rely on guys like James Forrest, we shouldn't be able to rely on other people, and times move on, it will happen with every single team in the World Cup. If somebody better is available, they should come in. And if it gets us further on, it gets us into the past the group stages, last 16, I'm all for it.
The one thing about football is football fans are very fickle. So there may well be people out there that absolutely do not want Harvey Barnes to be part of the Scotland squad. But if they see him skip by three Brazil players and stick one in the top corner next summer, they won't be caring about whether he knocked back Scotland in the past or not.
No, and to touch on what Craig said, he would come in and instantly improve the squad, instantly improve the team. There's probably an argument to that as well. I just think it's a tricky one. As I said right at the start, he's a guy who, yeah, he would be a great addition, but it's the, I hate the word optics, but it's how it would look and how Steve Clarke would feel about it and how the players would feel about it.
I'm totally on the fence. I can see both sides of the argument, but I keep going back to it. I think it'll all depend on what happens when we get round there to pick the squad. David and I have said tonight there could be a few injuries. Now, then you've got to look at, is it worth taking a young player? As a lot of people say, take a young player that's not really going to feature, whereas you can take this guy who's a very, very talented player and he gives us something different in formations. It's a hard, hard situation for Steve Clarke if it comes round.
Well, thank you to Craig. Keep the calls coming, 01419511025. We'll set up a teaser for these two next as well.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A busy night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard and still time to get your calls in. 01419511025. We're about to speak to Scott in Cambus Lang, but let's set up a teaser for Gordon DL and David Friel. Thanks to Derek in Bells Hill for this one. I think a pretty straightforward one. Since 2010, can you name the six men who have scored for Norwich City and the Scotland men's national team?
Martin. Chris Martin.
Chris Martin is correct. 34 Norwich goals, 3 for Scotland.
Hanley. Grant Hanley.
Grant Hanley, yeah, is correct as well. Okay, we will leave it
McLean
at that. You got 3 of the 6. You've done it again, but okay. We will let you have that one. 3 okay, more that to go. Let's speak to Scott in Cambus Lang. Scott, what is on your mind from Tuesday's events?
How you doing, guys? All right, thanks for having me back on. Right, I've got 2 points. The second one's going to be a bit controversial, but the first one, I think, as much as the other two goals were crackers, right, must admit, I think Kieran Tierney won that game for us. It took us to the World Cup because with that goal going in, the Danish went down that far, you know, that McLean had the chance to score that goal, right? If it was 2-2, the Danes would have been sitting back waiting for the draw. We Tierney scoring that goal, and I'm so pleased for him with all the injuries and whatever else. He came on as a substitution and everything else. I'm just so pleased for him to get that goal. What a goal it was. But I honestly think that he took us to the World Cup, to be honest. I'm not saying, obviously, the fourth goal was the icing on the cake with McLean, which was a peach. But Kieran Tierney's goal, you know, took, I personally think, took us there.
Yeah, I mean, that very much is the case. Literally, the goal that put Scotland ahead on the night was Kieran Tierney's. And as much as, you know, Scott McTominay's goal is going to get talked about because people are saying it's the best goal ever scored by a Scotland player, Kenny McLean's is going to get talked about because he scored from his own half. Kieran Tierney's goal is the goal that sends Scotland to the World Cup.
Yeah, and I totally agree. It's a fantastic goal. We were just talking about it at the adverts there, how good it was and the view that we had of it. The minute it left his foot, it was only one place it was gone. For me, everybody played their part, you know, and you can single out goals and important goals at important times. I even get back to, I feel sorry for Lawrence Shankman. He comes off the bench, he gets that goal, he gets the bread and butter goal for me. Okay, Denmark went up the park and got it back level, and then Tierney. But look, I think everybody's delighted for Kieran Tierney because he's come back to Celtic. He's come in for a little bit. He's not the same Kieran Tierney. He come on the other night there at a position that he doesn't play. You know, he come on and he was as good as anyone. He was in the right position. And I've got to say, we had a great view, Andrew. No goalkeeper was stopping that.
It's a really great story. I mean, as Scott said there, he said such a tough time, and he came through the interview zone after it, Andrew, and he spoke really, really well, very emotional about the tough time he's had from injuries. And he actually spoke about Steve Clark and how Steve Clark was always loyal to him and believed in him and how much that kind of meant to him. And to see a guy who has come through horrendous injuries and he's building himself back still, and he's been getting criticism at times this season, and players aren't immune to that. Players will know that people are talking about maybe you're not at your top level. So for him to come on, I think Steve Clark had said to Kieran Tierney before the game, you will play a part in this game. He was talking about Aaron Hickey. He wanted him to come on at some point. To come on and score the goal that, as Scott said, essentially got Scotland to the World Cup is a huge story. And I'd imagine Kieran Tierney takes a lot of confidence from this going forward.
People talk about the fact that it was written in the stars, the way that everything, you know, had aligned really for Scotland to get to the World Cup. Everything that had happened on the Saturday with Denmark drawing against Belarus. One part of that is the fact that, see if Steve Clark had done something a bit more conventional and put Anthony Ralston on at right back, or put a right-footed player at right back, the goal doesn't happen because it's a left-footed player playing at right back, popping up in that position.
That's why I think that everybody's got to take, you know, a bit of credit. I think when I was watching the substitution, I'm thinking, Tierney, right, okay, Robertson's at left back, where's he going to go? Who's he going to swap? And Tierney went on at right back, and I'm thinking, right, he's a good enough player. And you're right, he's not had the best of times. He's went through so many injuries, the lad. And the joy in his face was incredible, like everybody else's. I'm delighted for him. I'm delighted for Steve Clark that made that decision. Because if Denmark go down the pitch and they get in behind Tierney in the right back position, Steve Clark comes in for a lot of credit. So why you've got a right back there that's played over 100 games for Celtic, he's played with Scotland, and you put a left back on, left centre back on it, right back. He made a big decision, and Tierney actually paid him back because it was a wonderful strike.
I think his subs in general, I think Steve Clark over the years has been accused of sometimes being too cautious and too slow to make bold subs, but I thought Kieran Tierney was a bold sub at the time, and to go with the two up front. I know Denmark were down to 10 men, but still, to put on Shea Adams and Lawrence Shankland at that time and have a real attacking team out there, I think Steve Clark realised you have to just go for it. And look, it paid off, Lawrence Shankland scoring and then Kieran Tierney scoring as well. So yeah, a great night all round, but I think Steve Clark has to take a lot of credit for the way his subs worked.
Scott, what was your next point you wanted to make?
I think if I could say, you know, I'm not trying to say that nobody played their part. Shankland penalty striker, that's what he does, that's what he, so his goal's not going to be forgot about. Second point, Harvey Barnes, no chance whatsoever. I would bring back Callum McGregor. We've done it with Scott Brown, we're coming back out of retirement. I would bring back Callum McGregor. I would ask Callum McGregor to come back, no problem. Alright, he's maybe one wee pace suit yet, but he's still that mentally, he's still there, and he's so professional, and he knows the Scotland in and out. You know, I would have him back in a second.
It's nowhere near the same as the Harvey Barnes situation, but if Scotland have midfielders there who've got themselves to a World Cup, what happens then if Callum McGregor then sort of declares himself available for the World Cup next year, having been retired?
Yeah, no. I don't think it would work like that. Look, Callum McGregor is more than good enough to still be playing for Scotland and being in the Scotland team, but I think it would only really come about if Scotland really needed them. If there was a kind of spate of injuries in that midfield area, I don't think Callum McGregor's suddenly going to phone up Steve Clarke and say, oh, we're at the World Cup, can I come back? I doubt it would work that way. Would he help Scotland in the World Cup? Of course he would. But I think it would probably be Callum McGregor answering a sort of SOS as opposed to anything else.
See, the reason I'm sort of split with this, I think I'd be probably in a lot of the Scotland fans' camp if it was a midfield player we were talking about, right? But then it was so noticeable when Cannon Doak went off the pitch the other night there. We lost control of the game because we couldn't get up the pitch. And what we started doing was just hitting high balls up to Dykes. He couldn't hold it up. He was two against one. He was under pressure. And all of a sudden, Denmark were just coming on us and dictating the game. Barnes gives us that. You know what I mean? He gives us that difference. And that's the only reason I'm thinking, well, if it does get to the summer and there's a few picks and a few spaces left, he's a very, very good player that can help Steve Clarke in a formation situation.
I wonder if there would be more calls for it if Callum McGregor was a player who has played at his level and has won as many trophies as he has, but say he is a centre-back or a striker and not a central midfielder.
Yeah, it's the area of the pitch where we're so well stocked. I mean, you just look at the guys that couldn't go off the bench the other day, and even Lennon Miller, he had to pull out the squad, Billy Gilmour as well. So yeah, it's a well-stocked area. I don't think midfield is an issue for Steve Clarke. He'd love a striker that scored more goals. He needs a winger. You talk about central defensive position, but to me, the big one's also goalkeeper. You know, what do you do? Does Craig Gordon just keep defying the odds to continue? He's not playing for Hearts. Angus Gunn isn't playing for Forest. Liam Kelly isn't playing for Rangers. I would imagine, to go back to the point about Callum McGregor, I just think it would only be an emergency.
Do you think Craig Gordon's performances now kind of puts the cat amongst the pigeons of who is Scotland's number one goalkeeper? Because Angus Gunn came in at a time where he wasn't playing and did brilliantly in the last two camps, but then all of a sudden isn't available. Scotland, it seemed that they've got a crisis. Steve Clarke was quite calm about it all, said that he's got players he can rely on. Craig Gordon's put in two performances that have helped Scotland get to a World Cup.
Ask yourself the biggest question then. If everybody's fit goalkeeper-wise and you're playing your first game tomorrow in the World Cup, Craig Gordon's playing.
Yeah.
That's the answer to that.
Which is incredible considering the fact that he was the one goalkeeper out of the four that was left out of the Euro squad just over a year ago.
He had a farewell match for Scotland. Mm-hmm. He had a farewell match. He's 75th cap and it was a big farewell. You're not going to Euros, Craig, but we'll give you one last cap. And to then think 18 months later, I've not played for Hearts since April or the start of May. He's back, as you say, Andrew, helping Scotland get to the World Cup. He's about to turn 43 and hug Monet. He's probably got a decision to make in terms of his club future. Does he just stay and be second fiddle at Hearts? Does he go on loan for the second half of the season?
No, he rests up.
You think so? I mean, yeah. What would you do, genuinely? I think it's a big issue.
Look, I was very surprised. 6 months out of the game, I'm thinking that's a long, long time. And he produces what he produced for us in the last few games. So I think he can rest up.
Also going out on loan doesn't always work in that way. I remember with England, Calvin Phillips was getting chosen in England squads when he wasn't getting on the pitch for Manchester City, went out on loan to West Ham and basically played himself out of the England squad. So I'm not saying that would happen with Craig Gordon, but if he's being selected when he's not playing, is there a chance that he then... Are you risking it by then going out on loan and playing for 6 months?
But I also think he would have to, if he is going to go on loan, Craig, I think he would have to think very carefully about where he goes, because he wouldn't probably want to drop down a level, you would think. So he has to find a club at a similar level to Hearts where he's definitely going to play. I get your point, Andrew. Maybe he does think, and Daz says, maybe he just thinks, rest up, I'll play the Scotland games hopefully, and I'll just be ready to have my final hurrah, my last hurrah next summer. But he's amazing, Craig Gordon, when you think about the career he's had and the setbacks, the adversity he's had, to still be going strong at his age and to still be helping Scotland to a World Cup is quite incredible.
Well, thank you to Scott. What about Nicky and Kirk and Tillock? How have the last couple of days been for you since Tuesday night?
Well, I must admit, I think I woke the street up with the amount of shouting and screaming I was doing, to be honest with you. It was one of probably the best nights I think I've ever seen with Scotland, although as usual, Scotland never do things easy. But three of the best goals I think I've ever seen in my life, to be honest with you. So it was for me, it was definitely a night to remember. And it's, in fact, I was actually at Parkhead when the last time that Scotland qualified for a World Cup, so that's kind of gained my age a wee bit. But first of all, obviously, good evening, panel. Hope you are all very well.
You too.
Hi, Nicky.
I think my point now is like, there is going to be changes to the squad. Steve Clarke, obviously, is fairly, you know, loyal to players. And I think that when Patterson, when Angus Gunn, when even Xander Clarke, Taylor, to an extent, Cooper, all start, you know, or certainly if they come back and start to play regularly, those guys are all going to be in contention. So there is places in the squad that is up for grabs already before the Harvey Barnes situation, which is what I was going to talk about. Scotland have been, in my personal opinion anyway, the last two European campaigns or the last two Euros that we went to, I think we stank the place out. I don't think we played particularly well at all. And I don't think we showed up anything in terms of what we could have done in terms of the play that we did do in the run-up to the tournament. So I just think we were a shadow of ourselves, particularly in that last Euros. And if a player like Harvey Barnes, who's coming out in, what, in November, and turning around and indicating that he might be up for it, well, I don't see why not. We've got at least four games, I would anticipate, between now and the World Cup. You know, the international break, I believe, in March, plus I think that the SFA would naturally organise maybe another two or three friendlies anyway, just as warm-up games. Those, you know, it's not as if he's coming out at the end of March if we were in the playoffs and saying, right, I'm up for it, when there was literally no time. He's, you know, there is a bit of time for him to get in, you know, get a wee feel for it, see if, you know, and can I take it for there and effectively play his way into the squad. So for me, I think that a player like Harvey Barnes, if he's up for it, if his head's in the right place, then absolutely, I would have him in, no problem at all. But I know, obviously, Steve Clarke is very loyal to the players that are there already, and rightly so. However, if a player like Harvey Barnes is ultimately going to be available to us, then, you know, I can't believe Gordon had said earlier on that there's really nobody else. I mean, obviously, there's Ryan Fraser, who's, you know, kind of seems to be a wee bit of an international wilderness just now. Tommy Conway is kind of fell away, who's a wee bit of a wide player. There's really not an awful lot of options. And we need to really think, well, international football has to be ruthless. And if we're going to ever actually get out of the group stages, we're going to need the best that we've got. And ultimately, he falls into that category.
You would imagine if the discussions were to happen, just with the way that Steve Clarke operates, that it's not going to be Steve Clarke that initiates any conversation here, Gordon. You'd imagine that that would probably need to come from Harvey Barnes' side at first, do you think?
Yeah, I'd imagine that. But listen, Steve Clarke makes his own decision. He's, you know, he's a very, very good manager, he's shown. He's a strong manager. He makes decisions that sometimes people doubt, but he stands by them because he believes in them. He's an experienced manager. Listen, Harvey Barnes is a bit different. And I think that if you go to any tournament or, you know, in your group stages, you've got to have options for a manager. Formation-wise. Like, look, we started at one point and everybody thought Steve Clarke's preferred formation was a 3-5-2, basically, one off or whatever, but it was three at the back. He's went to a back four because everybody thought, right, need to get Tierney and Robertson into the same team. Seen the other night there, obviously, because of the way Tierney's went, come back for Celtic. He got that four. He stuck to the four, right? But I keep going back to it. It was so noticeable when Gannon Doak went off the pitch. We'd nobody like that. And we struggled a little bit. And I think that you've got to have different players that can change your system for a manager.
We do need game changers. And see, right now, we're all, you know, caught up in the euphoria of getting to the World Cup, and quite rightly so. And we need to enjoy this. And the draw will be in a couple of weeks, and we'll find out who we're going to be playing against, where the team's going to be, all of that. But Nicky's right, like the last two Euros haven't been good enough when it gets to the group stages. And it'll, you know, the turn of the year and then the early friendlies, the attention will come to how can Scotland be the best they possibly can be next summer. And it's clear, as Daz says, Scotland need better options in the wide areas. It's such a key part of modern football. You know, every top team plays with fast, quick wingers. Scotland don't really have any apart from Ben Gannon Doak right now, so it brings you back to the Harvey Barnes situation.
There's a situation, right? If Harvey Barnes was in our squad and he was on the bench the other night there and the injury happened, he's coming on the park. He's coming on the park. So we need options as much as brilliant substitution McKenna McLean.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then maybe Kenny McLean doesn't score from 50 yards.
It comes on later.
Right, thank you to Nicky. I'll let you two have an extra think about that teaser while I tell you about something very important.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Right now, one in four children in the west of Scotland are living in poverty. Families are panicking how they're going to just get through Christmas this year, as affording to pay bills and keep food on the table is challenging enough, and we need your help. Daniel from Greyfriars Church tells us about the difference that Mission Christmas can make to the families that they support.
You hear them talk about it after Christmas. They're desperate to tell everyone about the fun they had, about the little gifts that were able to get that they weren't expecting, because obviously the families have used the funding that you guys have given us for more essential things, like making sure that they're getting fed over the period when they're not at school. They know that they're able to use some of the other money that they've set aside for that.
The good news is that you can do something to help. Make a donation and we can help these families with the basics they need, like food and clothing, freeing up a little bit of money to enjoy the festive season a little bit more. Every child deserves a Christmas and you can help make that a reality. Donate now at clyde1.com/mission. We guarantee that 100% of the funds raised will go straight back to support those families who need it the most. Head to clyde1.com/mission and help make a difference this Christmas with J&D Pierce, supporters of Cash for Kids for the last 6 years.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final chance to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, 0141 951 1025. We are about to speak to Thomas on the line and we're about to get some final answers from you on the teaser. But do you remember earlier on Ian phoned, said tattoo that he got a tattoo of Scott McTominay's overhead kick. Ian, I think, has sent in the photo.
Come on.
That we should be able to see now if you're watching the live stream. There it is behind us. There is the Scott McTominay overhead kick next to what looks like a watermelon slice. But he's got the overhead kick. It's got the number four on the shorts.
Has the ball got a smiley face?
Not sure. Just a bit of detail there. You fancy one of those, Gordon?
No.
There's a lot of detail in that, like.
Yeah, quite like it, good, yeah.
Just imagine if we get to the World Cup and get some iconic goals at the World Cup, that could turn into like a full sleeve of just like Scotland, all-time great Scotland goals, right next to what looks like a watermelon slice in some sort of tribal ordeal.
Yeah, it's quite nice. What do you think, David?
I don't have any tattoos. I wouldn't get tattoos, but I admire.
I would, no.
Not going to get one of Kenny McLean, Kieran Tierney, Lorna Shankland, no, Steve Clark.
I always have a rule, people with red hair shouldn't have tattoos.
Why is that?
I don't know, it just doesn't look like. Have you seen the state of Ed Sheeran's arms? Never have tattoos.
People with red hair.
What a rule to live by, right?
I love it.
Let's get a couple more answers on this teaser. Since 2010, can you name the six men to have scored for Norwich City and Scotland men's national team so far? You have Chris Martin, Kenny McLean, Grant Hanley.
Right, we've got one each. Stephen Naismith.
Correct, Stephen Naismith.
Robert Snodgrass.
Correct, we will get one more after we speak to Thomas in East Kilbride. Thomas, how are you?
Yes, Andrew, good evening to yourself, David, Gordon.
Hi, Thomas.
Thomas.
Yes, Andrew, so I'm doing well, as you can obviously imagine, after Tuesday. I phoned in on, I believe it was Sunday, and I spoke to yourself, and I said, amongst other things, that I was part of a generation who had never seen Scotland at a World Cup. And so, as you can imagine, I'm overjoyed that that's going to be changing in the summer, and what a way to do it. You know, I'm so proud of Steve Clark, of every single player who played their part in it, and it was just an incredible night. From start to finish, what a way to do it.
What has that turnaround been like as a Scotland fan, going from basically only knowing the glorious failure, as people call it, and then now we've had three tournaments in the past few years?
Well, it's been a lot to try and get used to without wanting to over-egg it, because, you know, for years and years I was convinced I would never see Scotland in a tournament at all, and then we qualify in dramatic fashion for the delayed Euro 2020, which ended up being 2021 with the penalties against Serbia. And we end up then qualifying again to the Euros in Germany, and we do that in a much more straightforward fashion. So then you're thinking, right, is this what we can start to expect now? And then, but you don't want to start expecting it, because then, you know, you're basing that on two tournaments. So you're in a bit of a, between a rock and a hard place. And I think this campaign perfectly encapsulated that. You know, the majority of the games probably weren't great performances, including, to be honest with you, the majority of the game on Tuesday. But, you know, we find a way. You know, we have that grit and determination, and we find a way and we get over the line and we're going to the World Cup.
That is such a big thing, that maybe even in games where the quality hasn't been to the level that we would want, that, as Thomas says, the grit, determination, the application from the players has been there to get us over the line.
I think everybody walked away on Tuesday night after the game and thought to themselves, not surprised Scotland done that. You know what I mean? You're sitting there and you're waiting for something to happen, yeah, and all of a sudden you got the fairy tale ending. That's what happened with Scotland. But you've got to say, sometimes you've got to ride your luck a little bit. You've got to show a bit of character, a bit of strength, togetherness. And I think we had that in abundance in this campaign.
I heard somebody say after Tuesday, there's the easy way, the hard way, and the Scotland way. And it kind of sums it up. To go, as Thomas said, you know, there was kind of last ways of that game where Scotland weren't at their best, and Denmark, even with 10 men, looked the better team. But you just need to find a way to win. And it comes back to what Steve Clarke's built among the squad in terms of so many players and so many caps, and you can see the togetherness coming through.
Well, thank you to Thomas. One more answer to get on this teaser. Since 2010, can you name the six men to have scored for Norwich City and the Scotland men's national team? You have Chris Martin, Robert Snodgrass, Kenny McLean, Stephen Naismith and Grant Hanley. One more to go.
We're going to go Graham Dornans.
He never scored for Scotland.
I told you. What did I tell you? Why did you come out with that?
Jordan Rhodes.
Jordan Rhodes is correct.
I can't believe you
stole it.
Well, thank you to Gordon DL. Thank you to David Friel. Most importantly, thank you to you at home for listening in, watching on the live stream, for your calls, getting involved in social media. Tomorrow is Friday, where, of course, the domestic chat always tends to ramp up. There is a Celtic AGM. Will there be any development in terms of a permanent manager for them? We'll hear from Danny Rule as well. But, of course, there will be plenty more Scotland chat to come. But for tonight, it is Callum Gallagher. What's up next?